Welcome back to the Advocates Radio Show. It's Friday. It's the 4 o'clock happy hour. And I'm always happy when crazy e-bike Lenny the Terrorist comes around. And just so you know, Dom, you know, I strongly recommended to Lenny he not make the association between his fine e-bike brand and terrorism. But we were talking about terrorism, at least the white supremacists sort right immediately before Len joined us on the air. And Len said, you know, I don't think white supremacy is the biggest terrorist threat to the United States. And I'm thinking, oh, Christ, Lenny, let's not say this on the air. But he had a very thoughtful and powerful hacking. And I can see why he would hold that notion, man. Hacking is getting to be a big problem. We are going to start dealing with hacking as if it is a terrorist act. And our phone lines were down the other day, Dom. That was probably some sort of Russian actors, I suspect.
I have no doubt. Could have been the Chinese or the Iranians. I guess you never know. But these days, honestly, it was probably the Proud Boys or some Trumpster somewhere. You know, some fat guy on his couch in his basement.
I would say it was perhaps our troll, George. But I don't think George has the capabilities. You know, I don't think you could hack from a rotary phone.
It's surprising you can text from one.
844-967-2789. We got Maggie Dawn, a good friend of ours, the Mad Dog, joining us on Friday afternoons. But before we take her, let's take one quick caller who's been waiting. Dick from Madison. Welcome, Dick. What do you got for us?
Hey, Dick.
It's great hearing Lenny on there. I love when you guys have him on. You know, to this thing about not teaching any of our history and these stupid Republicans in the legislature here, you know, let's just bury this. Like, if one of them was to go to the doctor and find out they had cancer, but it's in
no,
their
I don't.
Cases, well,
I don't.
You know,
I don't believe
I guess we'll
in cancer.
Right. I guess, you know, the doctor would probably go, well, you know what? I'm probably just not even going to bother telling you because, you know, it's in its early stages, and, you know, you'll probably, you know, be okay for another couple of years before we catch this. But if not, you know, I don't get it. This is like a cancer growing in the country trying to bury this stuff.
And well, Dick, I think you're reading too much into it. It's a current event that the Republicans are glomming onto because they really have no policies or successes that they can stand up on. So they embrace, you know, the current talking point. I mean, you know, a couple months ago it was cancel culture. Now it's critical race theory. And, you know, in a few months from now it'll be something else.
Which brings me to my grievance. Why not just go with the simple majority and bypass Manchin and go, look, and sell it to him as, have you noticed how popular Biden is right now in the polling as compared to his predecessor? Am I correct in saying that Trump never exceeded 45-46% approval rating?
That was probably Rasmussen.
52. Yeah, right.
Right. And so he's at probably 61, 2, 3 consistently. All these things are working. Things are starting. The you know, the stimulus. And it's been proven that if we would have done a second stimulus package under Obama and Biden, we would have even prospered more. Most economists will say that. But no, we're just going to draw the belt in and say no to everything.
That's Republican governance for you, Dick. You know, the party that doesn't like governing wants to maintain power as a minority to govern.
Maggie Dawn, MD. Maggie, welcome back to the Devil's Advocates, our eagerly anticipated Friday friendship.
Hey, Maggie.
Hi, guys. How's it going this hot and steamy Friday?
It is beautiful. It's a sunny day. It's Friday. It's hot. It's awesome in Wisconsin, and it's great to talk to you again, my friend.
Feels like summer.
It does, finally. We've been waiting long enough, so bring it on, I say. Give me some 90s.
Well, we'll get like a week of summer and then it'll be fall again and
enjoy it quick.
3 weeks later, we'll be back to winter again, Maggie. So this will be our summer week.
That sounds about right, Mike.
Hey, Maggie, I know we really don't have like topics lined up, and it's great to just get Maggie Dawn back on the air. I know a lot of our audience misses you. So we appreciate you coming around on Fridays and hanging out with us. Specifically, most recently today, we've been talking about this critical race theory and the Republicans, you know, bringing out legislation to essentially ban it. Now, they didn't do that specifically here, but there is, you know, boilerplate legislation out there that's going across this country. Republicans all freaking out about this. Maggie, what are your thoughts on the Republicans' reaction to this as it pertains to the greater culture war?
It's predictable. You know, anytime you try to engage with Trumpists and many conservatives about what is our true and accurate, complete shared history about race in this country, it seems to me that white people, particularly conservatives, absolutely have a psychological blow up. They like have a nervous breakdown. It's, no one is suggesting that America is bad or evil. That's not what this is about. This is about understanding the facts relating to race in this country, how slavery was part and parcel of our founding, some of the theoretical tensions within the founding of our democracy, and how those issues have been addressed and not addressed in many instances over the course of our history, and why institutions today still tend to preference and privilege white people. That's what that is about. And anyone that says, I want to ban it, basically saying to our that I prefer you ignorant, stupid, and privileged, well-informed, and a little humble. It's really... Hope, Don, that you're right, that it's just a passing fad and an issue of the day and that they move on to the next dog whistle. But this is really, I mean, no. I want to be specific. I want my kids to not understand, you know, the complete picture of American history. You know, who says that? It's just that there's this name for it, critical race theory. What it means is stop literally whitewashing your children's textbooks. Let them understand the facts relating to our country's very troubled history about race, which extends and ends up including similar problems with gender, sexual identity, Native Americans. That's what this is about. It's about accurate history. It's not about an editorial subjective commentary. And that seems to be what all these conservatives think. I challenge Robin Voss to even define it correctly, and yet this seems to be what they want to do. And by the way, if I haven't mentioned this in a couple of weeks, on here, like every white person listening needs to pick up Sister Robin DiAngelo's book called White Fragility. It is sort of the treatise on why white Republicans are freaking out about critical race theory.
And Maggie, why do you think it is that when Republicans hear we're trying to eliminate or at least educate people about racism, why do they perceive that as an attack on Republicanism?
I think that there's a lot operating here. I think as a first and very sort of subconscious construct that's happening for a lot of conservatives is that to acknowledge that race has been from the inception and continues to be an unfair and inappropriate means of privileging some and oppressing others means that they have to, A, that they've done something specifically with intent to harm a black person, which they don't believe they do. And so I'm not a racist. I mean, if I had a nickel for every time I heard that from a white conservative, I'd be rich. They don't miss that what we're really talking about is institutions created over many, many decades and hundreds of years that have been structured to privilege white folks. So the second psychic sort of part is, yeah, but I've worked hard for everything that I have. And nothing about understanding or talking about race says anything about the struggle that any individual has faced or that poor folks have faced, no matter what their color. But it's acknowledging that race has played an outsized and predominant role in dividing our country and saying these people who are white get these additional privileges and these other people don't. And so I think with Republicanism that is basically fighting against a demographic reality that will eliminate it will have demographically eliminated Republicans' ability to hold control. This is part and parcel of anything that isn't talking about issues, right? Because we can't talk about issues because we can't win on issues. And that helps support this us versus them mentality. And the us is white people, the them is anyone else, right? White males in particular. And so opposing actual correct historical understandings to the extent that it gives any level of understanding, empathy, sympathy for people that are not white and predominantly male, that does not work with the Republican agenda today because it's us versus them. That's Tucker Carlson every day. That's Ted Cruz. That's Donald Trump. It's build that wall. You know, these are good people. You know, that's what this is about. And so, of course, when you look at the demographic realities of the Republican Party, they're on their way out. The only way they hold on is by creating red herring issues of culture. This is yet another one.
But Maggie, I've got Republican friends, and I've certainly heard them say, well, I'm not racist. But above and beyond that, I've heard them describe the Democratic Party. And as white males or sometimes white females, they don't feel like they check any of the boxes. They don't feel like the Democratic Party is inclusive of the white working class. They don't feel privileged because they haven't gotten a raise in 20 years. How would you say we as, you know, Democrats or Democratic supportive people, Maggie, how do we expand inclusively and include some of those Reagan Democrats in our conversations because they feel left out?
First of all, let's take up that statement, I am not racist, or my other favorite corollary, I don't see color. I would say to you that you will never hear a black person say, I'm not racist, or I don't see color, because that simply isn't an option for them, right? They know that everyone, black folks, white folks, brown folks, polka-dotted folks, we all have certain racially connected biases. Because that is how there's a whole bunch of sociological research about this, but literally from your infancy, you are taught that the faces that are most frequently around you are sort of safe. And if you have parents in the traditional way, those are parents that are going to look like your race. So even from our most primal state, this is how we've identified safety. So otherness to a degree has always been associated with risk. But then you layer on that the hundreds of years of lies and stereotypes and complete junk science that then reinforce this idea of white superiority and everyone else being inferior. So whenever I hear a white person or any person say, I'm not racist, I basically say, yes, you are, and so am I. Let's talk about it. Because only by being aware of our biases, whether they be subconscious or conscious, can we do better about them. And I don't see color. Yeah, only white folks say that they don't see color. I mean, come on. It's like the most ridiculous thing. And now I've completely forgotten what your question was.
What about the Dems trying to expand the tent to include white voters? We got 1 minute in this segment, Maggie.
Yeah, I think that it is the longer than a minute, $1 million or $100 million question. And I think this period of time with Joe Biden as president will be a clear litmus test. Does Joe Biden put policies in place that end up helping the middle class? And can the Democratic Party continue to message to say, we are still the party of the working person, whether that working person is white, brown, or black? And we've got to figure out how to message that back. Certainly happy to unpeel that onion a bit more when we get back from break, guys.
Well, you know there's a break coming. Maggie Dawn, one other quick proposition. I'd like to start a cult and be the leader. Do you want to join? Save your answer for the other side. More Devil's Advocates. More with our fine guest and friend, Maggie Dawn.
If there's one thing I've learned in life, it's that learning things never taught me nothing, and books is the worst.
So, it is political. You're a communist.
No, Mr. Green. Communism is just a red herring.
Break 'em.
The Devil's Advocates. Radio for the 99%.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Oh, I love that song, Crudy. You know it reminds me of summertime. Our good friend Maggie Dawn joining us for one final segment, and perhaps we'll take a couple of callers to get Maggie's opinion. Hey, Maggie, thanks for kicking around with us.
You bet, Dom, anytime.
Maggie Dawn messing around, getting a triple-double. Maggie, I've got to ask you about some local politics. The Board of Regents, and Tony Evers now has a majority on the Board of Regents, but they're not confirmed, and the VP of the Board of Regents is Michael Grebe, the former finance chair for Scotty Wanker, and there was some push from Republican legislators. They wanted Evers to effectively install Scott Walker's guy as the new president of the Board of Regents, and apparently Evers found some spine, or found the votes. But it ain't going to be Michael Grebe. It's Manadeeds, I believe the person's name. I feel like that's a small victory for Evers, but I suspect many of his Board of Regent nominees will now not be confirmed. They'll all be fired by the Republicans.
Yeah, it's this petty, isn't it? You know, it used to be just sort of like an assumed non-controversial proposition that each governor would, unless someone was absolutely facially unfit to serve, which they didn't appoint people like that, that the governor's folks would control the board and pick the president, and that as long as the nominees were reasonable, that they would be confirmed. Yeah, that was then. This is now. There's no fight too petty that the Republicans won't pick. There's no amount of power or leverage that's available to them that they won't use, no matter what the outcome, no matter who it hurts, so long as they get to stay in their particular elected office and preferably hold what I consider to be an unconstitutional vice grip of power over our entire Wisconsin legislature. It's fun times these, huh?
Oh, my.
Maggie, Evers rolled out his reelection campaign this week, although no official announcement. The campaign manager, et cetera, was something of a tell. How do you think the current governor will do during a reelection campaign in a midterm election that generally favors the party out of power?
Yeah, it's going to be rough. It's going to be rough. I think Evers has not articulated what I think he needed to in terms of a clear progressive vision for the state. He obviously is going to have limited success getting things passed by the legislature. But he also hasn't put the legislature on its heels. He hasn't brought it to him and made a lot of good, I would say, optical or PR moves to make it clear that he's not the one screwing up here. It's the legislature. I think from a political optical management perspective, his handling of these different emergency declarations and rollouts was abysmal. He effectively sort of conceded that he didn't have powers, then tried to assert them. I mean, this has been, I think, an object lesson in how not to try to, run an executive branch agency with a hostile legislative branch in this day and age. I always have believed that Tony Evers is a good and smart, nice man who's trying to do the right thing. But you also need to couple that with some political brass knuckles. And sometimes that's distasteful and difficult and you don't want to do it and you would love to see the other side be reasonable and cooperative. Well, that was then. It ain't now. And so I think he's going to have a really hard go of it.
Maggie, what
if... It'll be interesting to see what some of the initial polling starts showing once the Republican ticket starts to come better into view.
What if Mandela Barnes decides to jump into the senatorial race and Evers has to bring on a new co-pilot? Does that further undermine his chances?
I don't really think so, depending on whether or not he chooses wisely. I mean, Mandela had sort of his own pluses and minuses, right? And I think Evers may be able to substitute someone in who has fewer negatives and more pluses, and that may in fact be quite a boon to him. Again, I think Mandela's a little bit complicated for the governor, so I don't view that as a clear thumbs up or thumbs down for the governor.
our pal Maggie Dawn. Let's jam a couple of callers in here if we can. Again, Maggie's being missed. Wisco Paul, you are up. Welcome. Uh-oh, what did I do here?
The cult of Mad Dog. Welcome, Wisco Paul.
Hey, Paul, welcome.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Devils. Hello, Maggie. Very quickly, well, actually, you're bringing me down. I hope Tony wins, for goodness sakes. But I got a quick question on Robin Voss and his probe in the 2020 election at taxpayer expense. How is that legal? And thanks for taking my call.
Maggie Dawn.
Thanks, Paul.
What about the private investigators being hired by Robin Voss to go ferret out the election irregularities and then write a novel or a book or something?
Again, all of the prior rules have seemingly been torched. The idea that, and let's assume that Robin Voss does not have some sort of severe psychiatric disorder. I know that might be a stretch, but just let's assume it.
Okay,
let's also assume that he is a man that has at least, you know, like an eighth grade level of literacy. You know, again, not any intellectual faculties that have been, you know, somehow compromised in some way. If all of that is true, that man knows that he knows that it's a big lie. And so the very idea that you would take taxpayer dollars and expend them in this way, in outside of government, so extrajudicial, not within our courts, not within our government structures that we have, these good municipal workers and the clerk's office and others that administer, no one that's an expert, no one that's bound by any rules, and just flush a bunch of taxpayer dollars down a toilet to pursue a big lie because it's convenient for you, is the absolute lowest that a public servant can get, except for potentially simply taking that money and putting it into his own pocket. It's effectively a political campaign expense dressed up like a government one. It's fraud, and it should be prosecuted.
I like your plain-spoken way of calling a spade a spade.
Well done, Maggie Dawn. I concur.
She's the Mad Dog. She's our friend. She's Maggie Dawn, a fine attorney in her own regard, Milwaukee County Corporate Counsel. Maggie, thank you so much for coming around on this glorious Friday afternoon.
Thanks, guys.
All right, Maggie. I'll see you in a bit.
Dom, whenever Maggie Dawn comes around, you know it's going to be a good day. Want to thank her and our other fine guest, crazy e-bike terrorist Lenny Mattioli. He's not a terrorist. He's just running a lot of Father's Day ads. He's encouraging you to go try out an e-bike. Have a glorious weekend, but keep it locked right here. Devil Radio 92.7. Earl's next. A big Saturday lineup in Max Inc. Radio to boot.
Is today the worst day of your life?
Yeah.
No, I'm not going to join a cult.
Wow, that's messed up.
I got a lot of problems with you people. Now, you're going to hear about it.
The Devil's